First, I want to go to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. I'll just read verses 8 through 11 of Luke 2. Verses 8 through 11. And then I'm going to go to Matthew 10, reading verses 34 through 39. But let us hear the word of God, beginning now Luke chapter 2, verse 8. This is God's holy word. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. The angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign to you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And then going back to Matthew's gospel now, in our Bible, from Luke anyway. It's actually jumping ahead of where we were in Luke. In the ministry of Jesus, when he was talking to his disciples, he said in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 10, verse 34 to 39, "Think not that I have come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that takes not his cross and follows after me is not worthy of me. He that finds his life here on earth shall lose it. But he that loses his life here on earth for my sake shall find it." May God bless these words to our hearts and minds in Lord Jesus. Very strong words. Beautiful words, joyful words in the Gospel of Luke that we heard, and not so easy words to hear from you when you were grown up a bit and were preaching yourself and teaching. You told them the truth. And the truth will set a heart free and another on fire. We thank you, Lord, for your word. The word is truth. You pull no punches. You give us the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but it. We are praising you for this. In your name we pray, give us the truth some more. Lord Jesus, amen. Of course, I have always maintained that it's right to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. It's always a wonderful time of year for us. However, that's not true of everyone. And even some of us, it may not be true completely because there's trouble. You know, trouble in our lives, trouble in our family, trouble amongst those whom we love, care for, care about. And so I don't want to be like those who preach universal piece. I don't want to give the impression, and I don't think you ever got that impression from me, but just in case you have, I want to make it clear now, this Christmas, that I am not for universal grace and universal peace and love, because it just is a fallacy. It's a hope of man. In fact, I don't mind announcing my age. You mostly know it. I'm 69, just turned 69. And been eligible for Social Security, I'm thinking about it, collect it. But I've been alive 69 years, thank the Lord. He's given me a lot of, he saved my life, clearly saved my life a few times, and gave me new life, and that just amazes me. I can't forget it. I don't mind sharing it, but it's not about me. As Kenny would say, it's not about me. It's not about me. But on the other hand, I just want to mention that for 69 years, I have heard, well, when I was one, two, or three, I didn't know too much, but after about four or five, certainly around 5 years old, I've been hearing the sounds of, joy and merriment and peace and love and goodwill. And then later on, of course, I was able to perceive the well wishes of people. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, peace and joy to you and to yours. That's for 69 years now. Now that, for some of you, it's been 90 years, And for our youngsters, they haven't completely gotten tired of it. It's going to be Happy New Year in just a little while. And everybody's going to be bringing in the new year with whatever. Some with charm and poise, and others with riotous living. But it's the same every year. Nothing changes. Right? They go back to their old ways. Everybody does. And even most people on their resolutions, which one resolution or two or three or even 69 is not going to make a person much better. But they even go back, they make a resolution. Most people go back on the one that they make for the new year. It's just the same day after day. Turning of a calendar page does not make a difference in a person's heart, does it? And so I, for one, am not fooled by it. Just want to give you a little quote here in this article I've been reading. The error of the American unbeliever who waxes sentimental over the birth of Jesus as a symbol of world peace is his failure to reckon with the sword of Christmas. The heresy of the preacher who proclaims Jesus' birth as universal grace and salvation is his rejection of the sword of Christmas. The illusion both of the liberal and of the conservative evangelical that the birth of Christ heralds a bright new day of earthly peace in history for Christ's followers is shattered by the sword of Christmas. And what this writer is referencing, the sword of Christmas, is from Matthew 10, verse 34, where Jesus says, "Think not that I have come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword." And if you read in the Gospel of Luke earlier, in that with Simeon praising God in the temple there over the birth of the baby Jesus, interestingly, he says, if I didn't read it in the opening verse when I said, "A light to the lightened the Gentiles and the glory of the people of Israel," this is in chapter 2, verse 32. Verse 33 goes on to say, "And Joseph and his mother marveled at the things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, 'Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed.'" And so that's the sword of Christmas. And it ought to be preached on, it ought to be taught in the churches. I don't think it's popular to say this in churches, I've never been very popular anyway. But the gospel is what counts, not me. Again, it's not about me. It's about the words of truth. And the angels are singing peace. And I just want to unpack something here where these angels say, and suddenly in verse 13 of Luke 2, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And that may be understood in two ways, one or two ways, maybe even more than that, but two legitimate ways. Anyway, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards men of his favor. Some versions actually put that in because it's understood to mean that men of his favor, men that are given his grace. And we know that from other passages in Scripture where it's peace and goodwill towards those who are full of grace that Jesus Christ delivers into their soul by his Spirit. Or you may look at it as earth, peace, and glory to God in the highest, on earth, peace, goodwill, toward men, women, boys, and girls. In other words, there's peace brought to the earth into the presence of men, that it's the peace and the joy and the pleasure and the love of God. But men, women, boys, and girls do not return in kind, right? They don't respond in peace, love, joy, and pleasure to God. They go, fool you with that, or I don't believe that, or I have more important things to do, or whatever, right? So God shows his goodwill and his peace, but man does not have goodwill and peace with God. Either way, you see that, that's what's being said here. It's certainly not peace and goodwill with everybody, because we it's just not that way. History proves it. Our own lives prove it. It's going to be proven in the future. And besides, the word of God, Jesus, proves it. Jesus said, I didn't come to give peace, but to bring a sword first to my own mother, Mary. A sword's going to pierce her heart. And of course, that's the cross. And it's going to pierce through people. It's going to divide people into two groups. And you're going to feel that because it's going to be brought home to you, even though you want to deny it, I'm afraid. Sharper than a two-edged sword, the word of God, able to divide soul and spirit, cut right down the family unit. But you don't want to hear that, do you? I don't want to hear it. Actually, we do. Lord, we do want to hear it. If it's the truth, that's what we want. We want the truth. We don't want what the world has been saying for me, 69 years for you, whatever. What the world has been saying hypocritically, what the world is singing about and joyous about for a day or two or whatever it may be, Thanksgiving and all that stuff, let's just say the season, it's just not going to change. It's certainly not going to embrace the adult Jesus, maybe the little baby, but they're not going to embrace the adult Jesus with these words. I'm not come to give peace, but a sword. And it's going to divide your family. That's the sword of Christmas. That's what they're referring to. That's what Jesus is referring to here, the sword for division. So I want to talk a little bit more about this. I want to talk about recognizing it, ignoring it, resisting the temptation to ignore it, or resisting the temptation to put it aside, to blunt it, and then the blessing. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem, the angel choir sang that beautiful, beautiful doxology. What happened? Well, we're going to talk about that next time. about the Mary pondering and things in her heart, the shepherds hearing and spreading the news, other people marveling. What happened shortly thereafter? The wise men were directed to go in a different direction than to return to Herod with the news of his birth and where he is and all that. And then King Herod, that filthy, despicable king, issued an order to his soldiers. And what was that order, you remember? Shortly after the birth of Jesus, 2 years, he said, go and kill every male child 2 years of age and under in Jerusalem. It was predicted, it was prophesied earlier, Rachel's lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children, brought great sorrow. Herod did not want any competition to his throne. Not that Jesus was after his throne, but that's what happened, right? That's shortly after the birth of Jesus. Shortly after our Lord and Savior was crucified, rose, ascended into heaven, gave his disciples the Spirit, they were persecuted by the Jews, by the Romans, 2.5 centuries, about 250 years, before Christianity was legal, illegal religion, okay to persecute them in the empire. That's what they did. For believing in Jesus, for believing in his birth, for believing in his death, burial, and resurrection, is ascension by sharing it and persecuting. At the time of the Reformation, just look up online or Google it. The French Huguenots, for one, many, were persecuted, driven out of their homes, prison, put to death, in some cases. Huguenots, why? They believed in Jesus, in the Bible, and preached the full counsel of God. And on it went. Today, I listen to the news, and thankfully you don't hear much about it, although it's still happening, because you know you get the news from our missionaries and such, that there's still persecution going on against Christians in the Middle East and Muslim nations, places. Some of them are imprisoned, taken from them, in some cases their own lives. Certainly not peace on earth, joy to all, is there? It goes on, and we'll go on next year, and the year after that, and so on, till he returns. Well, when I return, will I find faith on the earth? Rhetorical question. Not much, if any. How anyone can believe, and the Word of God is so clear. It's, that's what indoctrination does. Even our own government is becoming more and more opposed to Christ, becoming anti-Christian, outlawing things, symbols of Christ, Christmas, Christianity. It's kind of ugly out there, really. It's not all ugly, but it's a lot of it. You can't ignore it. I mean, do we really want to sweep this stuff under the rug? Do we really want to join the chorus of the world to become hypocrites? I don't think so. I know I don't. This stuff, when I hear this stuff, when Jesus says, I haven't come to to send peace on earth, I come not to send peace, but a sword. I say, thy will be done, Lord. For so it seemeth right in my Father's sight to do this. Praise God, I know he's doing the right thing. I know man's gospel and man's ideas and man's feelings and man's well wishes are not true. After 69 years, come on, I know it's not true. I know you do too. And are we just supposed to say nothing about this at all? And join the chorus of well wishes and Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and God's rich blessings upon you without saying a word about the other thing? I don't think so. Yeah, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, God's rich blessings to you, brothers and sisters, but it isn't going to be the case if you don't believe. If you don't embrace the adult Jesus, yeah, the baby Jesus, okay, you know, Hallmark Jesus, but if you embrace the adult Jesus, it's not going to go well with you. And that's what we need to deliver as well to our, if we love people, if we really care about them. You know, I'm your best friend because I tell you the most truth, as J.C. Ryle said. He's your best friend who tells you the most truth. You want me to lie? You don't want me to lie. You want anybody to lie to you? I don't think anybody wants anyone to lie to him or her. That's not a friend, right? That's something else. That's why the politicians are not our friends, because they lie to us all the time. Everybody says it. It's not me. I'm not trying to be political here. I'm just saying that's what everybody says. Politicians, they lie. How do you know they lie? Because they open their mouth. I mean, that's the saying. And it has a lot of truth to it. Well, that's not the way it is in the pulpit, right? That can't be the way it is in the Church of Jesus Christ. Let's just lie with the rest of the world so we can get along. I don't want to get along with the world. I've been in the world half my life. Now, that's a little less than half my life, but almost half my life, I was in the world, of the world. I did the world thing. I did the worldly thing. I lived a despicable lifestyle. And for a while, I took pleasure in it. I delighted in it. I didn't have Jesus wasn't in my thoughts the whole day, the whole week, month, year, for years, decades. I heard about him and all that. Never really denied him. I just didn't care. I believed it was true. That much I learned from the Catholic Church, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that Jesus did miracles. And I believed all of it. I'm sure. But to what? That and at the time, 25 cents gets you a bus ride. That was my attitude. And I just don't. I know better. And so I want to do better, Lord. Help me to do better. Now, I realize that I'm an imperfect man among imperfect people. And we, sometimes it's my style. Sometimes it's my timing. But it's never my message that's off. Yeah, you know, my style, my timing, my sensitivity or lack thereof. I've been accused of all that. And it's true. But not my message. Never my message. Not yesterday, today, and I hope not for the rest of my days, however many there are. And it's not my message. It's God's message, right? I just read the word to you. And really, all I have to do is read the word to you. The birth of Jesus was wonderful. It's wonderful for us and to us and to all who embrace him as an adult, but many will not embrace him as an adult. And so we have to realize that, right? That many will not embrace him as an adult. But you see, Jesus brings it home. That's a general way of saying, yeah, there are a lot of people out there that don't embrace Jesus as an adult and his teachings and all that, and don't walk in his ways and are walking in rebellious ways and all that stuff. And we can all nod our heads and say, yeah, of course there is that. Why bring that up though, Pastor? Well, the reason why I bring that up is because Jesus, he brings it home. He gets a little more specific, doesn't he? He says here in the Gospel of Matthew, for I've come to set a man at variance against his own father, a daughter against her own mother. Her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And those, a man's foes shall be members of his own household. Now, that brings it on. So what do we have to do here? Well, we can either say that my family and my church family and all the families represented in the church are, we're all exceptions to Jesus' words. There's no one in my household that is unsaved or maybe unsavory or walking in the ways of the world or in error, doctrinal error. There's none of that in my household. And I'm sure there's none of that in your household. And we'll even extend it beyond your own family because we don't want to touch your dear son or daughter. But we'll extend it to your relatives and to those whom with whom you're getting together at this time of year. And everyone is charmed to his delight, his full delight and pleasure. And we'll extend it, too, to your own friends as well. You know, that friend you really like. Who may be a criminal in God's eyes, but you like him. You enjoy him. And we'll just broaden it to everyone that, you know, you feel comfortable in saying, yeah, he or she is a Christian. Why? Because she says so. Doesn't do so, but he says so. Well, I'm here, not me, but Jesus is here. Look, I'm telling you, your own foes are going to come from your family. Certainly from your relatives that extend beyond your own household, and certainly among your friends, co-workers, schoolmates, boyfriends, girlfriends, whatever. Whichever. And unless we want to join the chorus of the world and say, but didn't Jesus come to bring peace and harmony and goodwill to all? No. History shows us that. Our own lives show us that. You know, there are Christians, brothers and sisters, there are many Christians that have divorced, or in the process of separating, that despise one another. It's sad, isn't it? Well, why bring that up, Pastor? Because we're living in the real world here. And I just don't want to charm you into thinking that everything is delightful. It's delightful for us because we believe the Word of God and we believe it, everything. But, you know, I can't say that I'm delighted to hear the sounds of joy and Christmas bells and all that stuff and not be willing to hear, not at this time, Lord, don't bring it up here because here's my timing, right? My timing's off. You know, not the message, but the timing's off for the message, right? Think not that I've come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. In other words, Jesus was born. He incarnated. He took on flesh to drive a sword into his own mother's heart and then into our families. That's why he came. To bring a sword. Not just this, you know, silver bells and cockleshells and all that. That's not the message. That's not the gospel. That's a truncated message that you hear all over the place. But sometime you're going to have to bring this up. And what better time to do it than now? And so, you know, whom shall I send? Send me, Lord. I'll do it. Again, you may think this is the case. I've been accused of this in my own family. You know, you don't like people, do you? Because everyone you meet, every other person you meet, you offend. That's true, you know, I do. And sometimes it's my fault. It is. There's no doubt about it. I offend for no good reason. But this is the way it should be, brothers and sisters. If you're going to be an offense to somebody, and this is what I try to live by, although I fail, I know, but I try to live by, let the gospel itself, let the Bible, the truth, be the offense, not you. So if anyone's offended here that I'm not bringing a Hallmark Christmas to you today, the Word of God's the offense. Because I'm telling you, and I'm not telling you, the Word of God is telling you, others, theologians and people much smarter than I are telling you, the sword of Christmas is, first it pierced Mary's heart, and then it pierces our own. How does it do it? It divides family members, divides relatives, divides friends. And we need to recognize this and not ignore it. To ignore it is to say, well, Jesus never said, I came not to send peace but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and a daughter against a mother, and a daughter-in-law against a mother-in-law, and a man's foe shall be they of his own household. Jesus never said that. He didn't mean that. He certainly didn't mean for us to bring it up at Christmas time. Right? I'm saying he exactly meant it to be brought up at Christmas time. That's a perfect time to bring it up. When everybody else is saying one thing, you're coming up and saying, well, look at this. That might get their attention. Now, you don't do it in hostility. You don't do it in anger. You don't do it in hatred. In other words, let the gospel be the offense, not you. Now, I haven't learned how to do that so well because of my personality. I admit, my personality is aggressive, is grating. My voice is probably grating. But and so there are some people, you know, I have a person who's a tenant of mine. And even when she's trying to be sweet, it's the nastiest sounding, well, you know, like nails on a chalkboard. It's just some people just rub you the wrong way, right? Great. It's just great. And that may be my personality. I can't, you know, try to be cognizant of that when I bring something like this up, try to be as sweet as possible and all that, but then I just break out. And, you know, you can see the man behind the words. And I don't want you to lose the sight of the words here, that Jesus is saying this stuff and bringing it to light and telling us not to ignore. And so I remind my own son, my own daughters, I did it all their lives. I still do it. I tell them, I don't know. You can ask my wife, weekly basis. Certainly a monthly basis, but probably a weekly basis at least. I tell them where they're going wrong. Hey, well, I didn't teach you that. You know, I didn't set that before. Your mother and I did not set that example, but you're following us, and then there's excuse. All the I hear the excuses coming now, and they just, you know. And they're always excuses, never righteous. And I hope you do the same with your own sons and daughters and grandchildren, because they are imperfect and they don't know a lot. They think they know more than they know. And you know they think they know more than they know, and you need to tell them the truth. Yeah, but be nice. See, this is where some of us haven't learned. And it's my own personality, that's just the way it is, but I've learned this. I know it. You have to be nice. You have to do this in love. You can't do this in animus. You can't do this in hatred. Be angry and sin not, says the Bible. Especially with your own son or daughter or grandson or granddaughter, and you love them so dearly, you kiss them and hug them and say, but you know, I have to tell you a story. I want to tell you a story about my life. You know, try to bring it personal, make it personal, and tell them when I lived in the world and I did this and that, and I was searching, and I was just, it was so ugly, my life. And then Christ came into it and opened it, and I see you heading in the direction that I was going in a lifetime ago. And in tears, tell them, you know, that you got to change. But don't do it, you filthy, despicable sinner. I hate your guts, and you are defying, you're a disgrace to Christ, and you're a disgrace to me. That's not the way to do it. I've learned that. I've done it that way, and I've learned it's not the way to do it. But you need to tell the truth. You need to learn how to tell the truth, and nothing but the truth. And I have done that, and I still do it with my children. You can ask them, you know. And I won't stop. Hey, fair is fair anyway, right? They tell me all the wrong things I've done. Everything, and they invent things. Yeah, you know, they call me a misogynist. Some, a misogynist. Can you one that hates women? I love women. I was surrounded by women. They're the best things in all the world to me. Well, teenage girls aren't. But women in general, they're the best thing in the world, most beautiful things in the world. Why would I hate women? But you do. So, you know. But the other things they blame me for are righteous and true. But that's not the point, right? The point is that we ought to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, especially to our sons and daughters and grandsons and granddaughters, especially to them, in love. And you need to learn how to do that. I'm still learning. Because we don't want to blunt the sword of Christ, especially at Christmas time. That's the sword of Christ. That's the sword of Christmas. That's what it's meant to be. That's what it's meant to be brought up and brought out. Hey, you want to hear the joyful sounds of Christmas? Then embrace the adult Jesus as well as the baby Jesus. And bring him into your life before it's too late. And use this as an opportunity to share the truth, the whole truth. And you know when you do that? When you do that, honestly and lovingly, the best way you know how, with the best words you have, it's going to divide. It still will divide. But I refuse to compromise with the world. I refuse to compromise the gospel, the Reformed faith. I refuse to go back one iota in doctrine or in life because for the sake of my son or daughter. Are you willing to do the same? I'm saying follow my example because I follow Christ. I love Christ more than my father, my mother, my brother, my own wife, my own son and daughters. And I want them to know that as clearly, as succinctly as possible. I love Christ more than you. I love you as much as
I should love a human. I can't love anybody more than I love you. But I love Christ more than you. And I will not, in any measure, compromise the faith or the life that Jesus has set forth in the scripture for you, and certainly not for anyone else. If I don't do it with you, whom I love the most in the world, I will not do it with anyone else. Start at your own home. Start with your own family. And bring Christ up at every meal. Let's pray.
Heavenly Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. Your word is truth. We love your truth. We love your word. We confess that we fall short. We fall short of these things, but we want to get up and move heavenward with you, towards you, always towards you. Lord, you're our all in all. You're to be our all in all. Thank you for revealing yourself to us. Reveal yourself more and more to us and to our family and to our friends and to our neighbors and to our enemies. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. In your name alone we pray. Amen. Let's in closing sing hymn number 625, 625. And let's rise up to sing this hymn, 625.